Our second Bible reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in a right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. So we've started this series, Help, I'm a Parent. And I hope if you're not a parent here this morning, you do hope you understand it does have great relevance to you in different ways, in the sense of there's folk who are not parents, but who work with children. And maybe you work with nieces and nephews and so forth. Also, all of us know parents and have the opportunity to speak to them and be an influence to them. And its benefit in that. But also we're talking about biblical truths, which indeed apply to everyone, and which should be a help to our souls. Last week we were considering in our first study, why is it so difficult to be a parent? And we thought of three main reasons. First of all, the heart of the child, desperately wicked, sinful, deceitful. That is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with little sinners. Little versions of ourselves, which is scary. And then we thought of the heart of society. We looked at Romans 1, 2 Timothy 3, and teaches there of how when society becomes more and more godless, indeed it encourages more and more disobedience of children towards their parents. And so it's getting harder when the environment around is more anti-God. It's become harder and to be a parent in that situation. And then we thought of the heart of the parent. We're sinful ourselves. We're twisted in our thinking. Our desires are twisted by sin. Our abilities are limited because of sin. And that's the big problem for us. But then we thought about responding to these challenges. We thought about the need for humility, to recognize who we are. If we think we're the greatest parent that's ever existed, we're in trouble. God helps those who are weak. Secondly, we need God dependence. What's important is God working in the lives of our children. That should be our goal. God moving in their souls and in their lives day by day. That should be our passion, depending on what God would do and God working in us as well. Then we had gospel focus and realized that the biggest problem with children and with us is sin. The answer has to be the gospel, which is the presence and the power of Christ, the power of his death and resurrection being real in their lives and our lives day by day. That's how people indeed become more like Christ. And then we thought about perseverance. We must be in this for the long haul. It's not easy. And when we fall, we need to get up, dust ourselves up, and seek God's grace to go on. And we thought of the words of Psalm 126, that if we don't give up, we will indeed reap a harvest in God's time. So that's what we were thinking about last week. Why is it so difficult? And this week we're going to be thinking about what should my goals be as a parent. What are we trying to achieve as parents? And you know, it's important to think about our goals rather than just drift along in our Christian lives. Sometimes as parents, just getting through another day, getting them up in the morning and washed and dressed and fed and out to school and getting to the end of the day, that's big enough achievement for itself. But it can't be just about getting through every day. What are we seeking to achieve as parents in the lives of our children? Well, we're going to be thinking about some goals here. And so the first point today is goals as Christ's ambassadors. And turning to this passage here in 2 Corinthians 5. And what we are wanting to emphasize here, that in being parents, we're doing it on behalf of God as to what he wants. As parents, we need to have more and more the attitude of Hannah in the Bible. You remember the story of Hannah? She couldn't have a son. She prayed for a son, promised if she had a son, she'd give him back to the Lord. And Samuel was born, and she gave him to the service of the Lord at the tabernacle at Shiloh. And in a sense, as parents, we need to be doing that and just handing our kids over to the Lord and recognizing that the kids don't belong to us. We're ambassadors. We're stewards working on behalf of God. And we're there to do his will in the lives of our children. So it's not my agenda for my child. It's God's agenda that's important. Very famously, the Bible teaches us that we're to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's not to be my discipline, what I think. It's not to be my instruction, my wisdom. It's the Lord's. Parents are to be ambassadors doing the will of the King of Kings, who has called them to this task. So hope that comes in. If you grasp nothing else of this series, grasp this. The children belong to the Lord, and we are there to do his will, his bidding, in the lives of our children. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5 here, Paul highlights some aspects of being Christ's ambassador. He says, first of all, in verse 7, walk by faith and not by sight. By sight is the way that the world operates. Walking by faith means seeing beyond the physical and the material things of life to see the spiritual and divine perspective of things. It's seeing there's other, indeed, qualities that matter, seeing there are other values that matter as we bring up our children than just what the world would say. Secondly, we are to live with the judgment seat in mind in verse 10. We have to bring up our children, not just about getting through a day, but long-term approach of what they will be. This means seeing our children trust in Christ and nurturing and disciplining them so they'll grow more to be like Christ with eternity in our minds. We have to bring up our children with the judgment day before us. On judgment day, will we be ashamed as parents for what we have done or not done for our kids? On judgment day, will we be sorry of the state of our kids because our priorities have been wrong? So it's very serious what we're to do as parents. Thirdly, we are to be controlled by Christ's love in verse 14. Christ's love compels me. Christ's love controls me. Christ's love constrains me, Paul says in different translations. And the impact of Christ's love should have a great influence on how we behave as parents. We will want to bring up our children to please Christ out of love for Christ and what he has done for us. and how we treat our kids needs to be impacted constantly by that love of Christ. In a very real sense, mums and dads are to be like Jesus to their kids. Boys, what a calling. What a calling. The way we speak to them, the way we discipline them, the way we teach them our priorities, we are to be like Jesus. How can this be done? Well, the next point is living as a new creation. In verse 15, speaks about Jesus' death so that we live a new life. And speaking of, it's Jesus' death being applied to people at rebirth and continuing to be applied to people through the Holy Spirit brings about a radically different life. Christians are a new creation. Christian parents are a new creation. So they and their attitudes should be radically different from their non-Christian neighbors in what they do and what they think. But this should encourage us. It's a challenge, but it should encourage us as well, because if we know Christ as Savior and Lord, we are a new creation. His Holy Spirit is living within us. So the potential for us as parents is amazing, because he lives in there in that great power. And then point E, a ministry of reconciliation. The priority is bringing up our children and seeing them enter into a right relationship with God through Jesus and continuing in that relationship. It's about relationship. Our relationship with our kids should be there so they would have a relationship with God. And that relationship has to be our priority. So there's some of the priorities we can take from 2 Corinthians 5. Although it doesn't speak specifically about being a parent, it speaks about priorities which are true for every area of Christian life, including parenting. But secondly, we're going to think today about examining your goals. Next week, in the notes, I'll give you I recommend some books and some other material for you to look at. But a lot of what I'm taking today is taken from a book by Ted Tripp, an American preacher, counselor. His book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. And so a lot of what I'm doing from the rest of the sermon will be taken from his book. He speaks about examining your goals, and he speaks first of all about unbiblical goals. Parents generally want their children to be successful, living happy and comfortable lives. And what success is and how it is achieved will have great variation. But we need to just even challenge what is it we see as success. We need to challenge how we see bringing about success in the lives of our children. Now he speaks about some of the ways the world seeks to bring about success. And so these next points are to do that. First of all, developing special skills. This means getting our children involved in a wide variety of activities to help them develop the skills and abilities they might have, getting them involved in sports, in music, in drama. Maybe our child is a future Olympic gymnast, so we get them involved in gymnastics. And so that's getting them to flourish in their skills and ability. So we run here and there loads of activities, school activities, other activities, so that indeed they can develop their skills. That's how success comes. That's one thought of the world. The second thing is about psychological adjustment, which is a very big phrase. But it means about very much encouraging our kids to have a good self-esteem, to think that they're great, to think that they're wonderful, to teach them how to get on with other kids so they can get on in life. Thirdly, save children. And what he's speaking about here is the priority of getting your child to say the sinner's prayer. And if we get them to do that, believing that everything else will fall into place. There's great emphasis on sin, there's great emphasis on salvation, and we want our kids, and we put pressure on our kids to say this prayer. That's the great goal. Now, we want our kids saved, of course, but we'll come back to this. We'll come back to most of these points in a moment or two. The next goal can be family worship. A family that prays together, stays together is a common expression. So the focus on family devotions, but sometimes it can be a focus on family devotions, but doesn't correspond to the rest of life. And it's maybe not the claims of Christ, the teaching of Christ is maybe not worked out in the other areas of life. And family worship can almost be like a good luck charm. As long as I have my family devotions, God will bless and everything will be all right. Now, I'm not belittling family worship, as you'll see shortly. The next goal can be well-behaved children, just wanting good poise, social graces that they don't make others feel uncomfortable. It sounds good, but he says this, having well-behaved children is not a worthy goal. It's a great secondary benefit of biblical child-rearing, but not an unworthy goal. And it could be a danger that we want our kids to behave in a certain way in order to please others, and others will speak well of them and speak well of us. Next point he mentions is good education. Again, parents thinking, get our kids a good education, everything else will fall into place. But he speaks of how scores of disillusioned and broken people are well educated. Some of the most messed up people in a huckle today are well educated. And he speaks of how the Bible does not say having a good education is of great importance. Now be careful here, I'm not speaking against education, you'll see shortly. But we have to be careful that many of the things that the world says are important for our kids, which are good things, and not to be, in a sense, chased away, are not necessarily the priorities of God in the Bible. That's what we're trying to get at here. The next thing he talks about is control. Wanting children who are manageable. And maybe a parent uses the methods that we used on them when they were growing up, and maybe it's very severe discipline, so that your children are fearful to speak a word out of turn. They've experienced very harsh discipline, and they're controlled by fear. Now, after speaking of these points, he goes on in this point here, this biblical warning against cultural influences. Throughout the Old Testament, the people of God, the children of Israel, were warned not to be taken in by the culture of the nations around them. And when Israel fell away, that's exactly what happened. The teachings, the attitudes, the behavior, the culture around them came in and swallowed up their own culture. And believers today need to be careful that indeed we need to measure those priorities we were thinking about, those methods we were thinking about there in the light of Scripture. There's some children I really do envy. Children who are brought up bilingual. We know some folk, and the father's French and the mother's English, or the mother's Northern Irish, speaking English, first language. And the kids have grown up fluent in both French and English. And if you ever meet kids like that, it's absolutely amazing in how they switch from one language to the other, in what they say. And one minute, the father speaks to them in French, fully understand it. The next minute, the mother speaks in English, they fully understand it. And they just swap from one to the other. It's important for us to understand that there are two different languages that we are listening to. There is the language of God and what he says are priorities. And there is a language of the world. Now, the thing is, these languages do not come with labels and say, well, I'm the world's language, I'm God's language. And all this comes into our minds, comes into our thinking as parents. What we need to do, and our challenge is, to discern what is from God and what is from the world. Now, some things in the world are good. They're not necessarily wrong. But everything that comes from the world's language has to be tested in the light of what God says. So what the world says we should be doing, what the world says should be our attitudes, what the world says should be our goals, need to be tested in the light of Scripture. This brings us just to this point here, the overarching biblical goal. What is the goal the Bible says should be the goal of our lives and what should be the goal of the lives of our children. We mentioned this last week in our shorter catechism. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That should be our goal for our kids. And all that we've been talking about, all that we've said about how the world says success comes, we have to measure up all these things under that banner. How does it glorify God? How does it cause us to enjoy God? How does it cause my kids to glorify and enjoy God? And under that, we must test everything. Ted Tripp speaks about the danger of mixed signals. He says this, if you teach them to use their abilities, aptitudes, talents, and intelligence to make their lives better, without reference to God, you turn them away from God. So he's saying, like, if we get our kids involved in doing loads of things, whether they're work in school or whatever, and we do it without reference to God, we're basically bringing them up to turn away from God and bring them up as those who don't need God. And that's not right. So this brings us to our third point, and our final point, which is reworking your goals. How do you rework your goals under this? And the first point here is rethinking on biblical goals. We need to rethink all of our goals for our kids, the decisions we make, in the light of the chief end of man, which is to glorify and enjoy God forever. So that's what we're going to do for a moment here. We're going to think about some of the ways the world says you achieve success for your kids under this light. First of all, developing special skills. We need to ask if we're going to get our kids involved in loads of activities in school or outside of school, we need to ask what values are being represented. What values are being shared by those who teach our kids? Are they being taught values which are in line with Scripture? It's not just things in school. I remember some time ago, we, Sheriff and I were involved in a church where there was a gentleman who was brought in to teach the girls how to play football. And his approach was, if you don't get the ball, you get the girl. And Sheriff read him up. He said, you can't do that in a girls' brigade. That's just absolutely right. You cannot be teaching people to win something in an inappropriate way. And so we need to ask, that's just a little example, we need to ask, what are the values of the activities? And also, we need to be aware that, indeed, that what are we saying to our kids if we're saying to them, be busy, 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 doing these things, running in all these different activities, particularly if there's no biblical content in anything they're doing. What message are we giving to our kids about life? What are we telling our kids about their use of time? Now, I am not for 1 minute saying all activities should be stopped. But we need to think about what are we doing? Is it benefiting them to glorify and to enjoy God? When I was going to university, I was being interviewed about university before I went, and one of the lecturers in the civil engineering department of Queen's asked me what my interest in was, sports and so forth. And I said I played hockey. He said, oh, that's all right, he says. I wouldn't like you to be involved in rowing. I says, why? He says, the amount of practice it takes in rowing. Now, if anybody here's a rower, I'm not going to speak against it. But his thing was that he's seen people who've come into the civil engineering department who were so involved in rowing, they hadn't time to do their work. And we need to just be careful in that. I remember even, let me give you a reverse of that, I was involved in hockey, and that was a good thing for me. It probably kept me at school longer than I would have stayed at if I hadn't been playing hockey. It's good, healthy thing to be involved in sport, learning about teamwork. But if our kids are involved in these activities, we need to teach them about doing them for the glory and honor of God. We need to teach them to be an example for Christ. We should be praying for them, for those who are involved in their activities. How do we use our involvement in activities for the glory and honor of Jesus? And particularly, are we encouraging them to develop skills and abilities which can be used for the glory and honor of Christ? So it's not just saying we'll get them to go to the netball, we'll get them to go to the football or whatever. We need to talk to them and consider, how does this fit in with God's plan for their lives? How does this glorify and honor God? Think about the next one, psychological adjustment. The world teaches about self-esteem. You're great, you're wonderful, you get prizes and all this here to declare how wonderful. How does that fit in what the Bible teaches? Self-worth biblically comes, as we were singing with the kids, I'm special, not because I've done ABC. I'm special because God has loved me and gave me the best thing that he had to save me. And it's teaching them, you're a sinner, but God loves you and his grace, he sent Jesus. Self-worth comes from knowing Jesus, knowing his salvation, knowing that grace in our lives. That's what we need to be declaring to our kids, where worth and value comes from. Think of the next point about saved children. It's important, rather than just focusing on a one-off experience in which they say the sinner's prayer, our focus has to be nurturing our kids, teaching God's truth, relying on the work of the Holy Spirit, teaching them about ongoing faith and ongoing repentance. Parenting is about discipleship. Parenting is about teaching our children to grow up to be like Jesus, not just a one-off experience. And particularly for kids, you have to be very careful about pushing your kids to say a sinner's prayer, because you get them to say this, how do you know it's real? Teach them more long-term faith and repentance. And even if they've said a sinner's prayer, it doesn't change how you bring your kids up. You teach them, you bring them up to know God's word, to trust God, telling them to trust God and to follow God. So it's not just looking at a one-off experience in that. Take family worship then, next thing. Ted Tripp says this must be a means and not just an end. It's a means to the end of knowing God. It's about bringing them into that relationship, that reconciliation, family worship. It's not just about, we have this done so God will bless us as a family. It's about having family worship that relates to our kids and relates to every area of our life. So in your family worship, you talk about your son's involvement in the football team and what you're teaching relates to that, and you're praying about that. One of the things about activities, having our kids involved in a lot of activities. Ted Tripp says, what are we saying to our kids if we have time to take them to all these activities, but don't have time each day to sit down as a family to read God's word and to pray together? And I find that very challenging. And as I said at the beginning, one of the reasons I'm doing this series is for me to learn as well. Family worship should be there, but it should be relating to every area of life and how it applies to their daily living. Think about well-behaved children. Ted Tripp says, in a biblical vision, manners is an expression and application of the duty of loving my neighbor as myself. That's what you should teach kids. How would you feel if someone had behaved to you that way? It's not getting our kids to be well-behaved so that we're not embarrassed. It's not getting our kids to be well-behaved so that others are not embarrassed. It's teaching our kids about loving your neighbor and teaching them to treat others the way they would want to be treated. Again, you see what they're doing is tied in with biblical principle. And then just the final one, just to pull on, good education. Our priority for our kids should not be about grades or qualifications. That should not be the primary goal for our kids in education. Those are secondary things. Our primary goal for our kids should be that they learn to work diligently for their Lord, using passages like Colossians, serving your master even when their eye's not on you. That they should be taught faithfulness is the objective. And so when it comes to exams, when comes to something like the transfer or the GCSEs or A-levels, Our priority is for our kids, and we should teach our kids. It's not about getting certain grades. It's not about getting into a certain school or a certain university or anything like that, or a certain course. Our goal is to be faithful, to work hard, to trust that God has a plan for us. And as we work hard, that plan will be worked out in God's purposes. Get away from goals and achievements that of certain grades, and that's not right. We have to be thinking about, kids, do your best, work hard for the Lord, and see where God will take you in life. It's giving a very different focus. It's looking about what our kids are involved in, why they do things, from a biblical perspective. It's bringing God into the equation. It's bringing the glory of God and the enjoyment of God, the service of God, into every situation in life. That's what we should be doing. We'll be thinking next week about how we achieve this. How do we seek this goal to God be glorified and enjoy our kids? We'll be thinking a bit more of the practicalities of what we're doing. But the crucial thing this morning is thinking through what we do as parents and asking that question, is the glory and enjoyment of God my priority for my children these days? Let's pray together. God, our Father, teach us to hear the voices, to discern the different voices that come among us. Father, help us to discern the voice of the world and the voice of God. And Father, help us to have the faith and the courage and the perseverance to bring up our children according to the voice of God. And Father, for those of us who are parents, that means that we need to be better students of your word. And Father, that your word would be transforming our thinking, transforming our lives. So we'll be able to say to our children what the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Father, we have many failings, we have many faults. And Lord, what we've been doing today is a wee bit of excavation, just maybe pulling away some things for you to grow a new building in our lives, in our families in these days. Lord, help us to hear your call. It's the call of the kingdom, the call to live for the glory and honor of Christ, the call to live so that others will come to know Jesus, including our children. For such grace we pray. Amen.